America spends more on war than the next seven nations combined in the world. Note that we use the term war, not defense, because it is very unclear that all this money is purely for defense. It is far more likely that a vast part of this money is to finance dangerous delusions of imperialism, that America is the indispensable nation and it needs to intervene all over the world, and so on. This is an idea that was directly condemned by moral leaders such as Martin Luther King, but under Barack Obama, it was treated as a religion. And under Obama, you had a kind of runaway imperialism, runaway liberal imperialism. People such as Samantha Power proclaimed the American way. And if people didn't go along, she cheered on bombing and drone attacks that killed hundreds of thousands of people. The problem is that all of Obama's wars didn't work. America didn't bring democracy to Syria. It killed 500,000 people with the wars that it supported and accomplished nothing. It didn't defeat the Taliban with his ridiculous surge. Indeed, the Taliban today is stronger than it's ever been. In fact, it's so strong that the U.S. is largely capitulating to a lot of the Taliban demands as it tries to leave Afghanistan. One of the most horrific aspects of Obama's campaign of imperialism was his decision to ally himself with Saudi Arabia to crush a new government in Yemen. This didn't work. What it did succeed in doing is killing 200,000 people in Yemen, and the death toll keeps rising, creating the world's worst humanitarian disaster. Obama's intervention in the Sudan, another disaster, another government that was a complete failure, and so on. Libya was a total catastrophe and is an ongoing catastrophe. So these wars didn't work. The most serious problem with Obama's foreign policy was the start of a new Cold War with Russia. Since the end of the Cold War, the West, NATO, betrayed their promise not to expand, and NATO today extends right up to the borders of Russia and is just an hour away from St. Petersburg. Now, this is a very sensitive issue to Russia because they have been invaded twice in the last 100 years, and key battles in Russian history have taken place in areas such as Estonia. So the Russians have good reason to see the expansion of NATO as a direct threat. Now, in 2014, the very unstable state of Ukraine became even more unstable. Now, we're not going to get into whether the CIA funded the rebellion or did not fund the rebellion. We'll let somebody else sort that out. What we can confirm is that Ukraine, the modern state of Ukraine, which is an artificial creation, sort of the Yugoslavia of the Black Sea, is a ethnically or linguistically divided nation. The Russian-speaking folk in the East aren't too fond of the Ukrainian-speaking folk in the West, and the feeling is mutual. So, a series of rebellions toppled a le violent rebellions, we might say, toppled a legally elected government in Ukraine. And the Russians had very good reason to believe that the hostile anti-Russian government that came to power would threaten a vital Russian security asset, their naval base at Sevastopol in the Crimea. Now, the whole idea that the Crimea being part of Ukraine is kind of a joke in itself. This was a political decision in the Soviet era, which transferred the Ukraine, excuse me, transferred Crimea to the Ukraine. But Russia had very good reason to secure its naval base. Now, as a result of their doing that, the Obama administration went completely bonkers and slapped on all sorts of sanctions and so on and so forth vis-a-vis Russia. This has accomplished absolutely nothing other than just leading to endless tension and dangerous tensions with Russia. Now, when Mr. Trump came in, he started a new Cold War with China, launching economic attacks against companies such as Huawei, trying to destroy some of China's key technology assets. These things should be considered acts of war, as I might say, are the economic sanctions against Russia, which are also acts of war. Mr. Trump's endless threats against China have led to an escalation in Chinese military spending, and particularly troubling, an escalation in Chinese nuclear military spending, as well as being very counterproductive from a trade point of view, which was supposedly what they were going to accomplish. Trump has made very little progress on trade, and the trade deficit is as bad as ever, and so on. So, in the long run, Trump's actions are likely to be very damaging because the Chinese are going to restructure their economy to be less dependent on the West, and as a result, America will be weaker, China will be stronger. So this makes very little sense. At the same time, the Chinese have not been really too realistic in their behavior on the South China Sea and other areas such as the seas near Japan in making territorial claims that are frankly ridiculous. But all this leads to further tension. Another issue, by the way, is whether the American sanctions against Russia on oil producing material could lead to oil spills, disasters, by preventing them from having the best equipment in drilling in dangerous areas. That's another factor to keep in mind, and America has been trying to sabotage the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is almost completed, to Germany. Now, with the coronavirus crisis, all this circus really cannot continue. It cannot. Because after spending all this money, America now has lost more people and more money than it lost in all of World War II. So the campaign of imperialism cannot go on. The US government now is in a huge financial crisis. So what should Biden do? The bottom line is we need to get real about real national security. Real national security involves life-threatening situations such as the plastic in the ocean. That's real national security. Climate change, the global water crisis, and so on and so forth. These directly threaten national security. There's still the possibility of even more virulent diseases in the future. For example, what if we have a plague that is much more deadly than the coronavirus? So these are real problems. Also is the real problem that the US government is simply going broke. So the Cold Wars with Russia and China need to be wound down. This doesn't mean going soft on Russia or soft on China. But the situation needs to be wound down, particularly in the case of Russia, where a escalation of tensions could lead to a hot war and possibly a nuclear war. So what needs to be done? A peace plan needs to be developed for Ukraine. It's ridiculous to believe that and to keep insisting that Crimea should be part of Ukraine. That's absurd. The Ukrainian government is a basket case. It's a mess. It's ridiculous to suggest the Russians should return Crimea to the Ukraine. So that's not going to happen. So we should stop wasting time talking about that. We haven't got time for all this nonsense. So we should be willing to accept the presence of Crimea as a part of Russia, which certainly seems like the will of the Crimean people. What to do about Donbass is going to be a trickier thing, but somehow or other, this whole situation needs to be ended. It's not worth arguing about. This new Cold War needs to come to an end. In the case of China, we need to have adult discussions behind the scenes about the economic problems and an end to direct acts of economic war, such as the attempt to destroy Huawei. How would America feel if China tried to destroy Microsoft or Google or whoever? Would we accept a foreign company or foreign country trying to destroy U.S. corporations? No, we would not. So that all needs to be wound down. And until we wind that down, Biden's situation, frankly, verges on hopeless, because until the military spending situation can be brought down, the U.S. government is in a financial crisis that is not resolvable. So these things need to be adopted. We will add to the our plans on this, but we wanted to put forth this lecture now to clarify thinking on this subject.